Genesis chapter 1. Now, what verse are we supposed to start on? Who remembers?
On verse 9.
All right. Sounds like a good place to me. How's everybody doing this evening? Okay. We had went out to prison Monday night and had the fellas saved. It was a real blessing. I like to see folks get saved. Well, he's just a squalling and a bawling too. I like to see that. We're going back out Sunday afternoon, 3:30 to 4:30. So if y'all come out and go with us, have a good time. I think there was about 3 white guys in there and about 30 black guys. They about beat them tambourine slam to death. Now, they don't play them like we do. They make them pop and crack and jump and do flips. And it's wild. But it's good. Amen. And then let's see. 27th of February, we've got youth rally here. You need to be making plans for that. You ought to come. And you say, well, I don't have any kids. Well, come anyway. Pretend you're a kid. Amen. I'm just a young man in the Lord. It's for the children, but everybody's invited. We'll have a good time. And let's see, what else is going on? What? Sweetheart Banquet, February the 13th, Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. Lumber River Quartet, catered dinner, and a lot of good fellowship. So make sure you're here. Samantha? Yes, we need to do that. I got it right here. Remind me to see her right after service, okay? Somebody said one time, if you took all the salmon in the world and laid them end to end around the equator, it'd be a good thing. I do. That's right, I do. I was talking to Brother Fleur just a little while before we came to church tonight, and he said, did you hear this story about the typical Baptist? I said, no, I didn't hear that story. He said, well, here it goes. And evidently there was this Baptist, and he was on a boat, and he got shipwrecked and stranded on a desert island. He's on this island by himself for 10 years. Finally, one day, a boat comes by and sees him, comes ashore to rescue him. He said, boy, am I glad to see you fellas. You know, it's just real blessing. They talked for a little while, and then the guy that rescued him wanted to know how he made it and how he got by all these years. And he said, well, come on. He said, I'll show you. And so he takes him up to the middle of the island, and there in the middle of the island are 3 little huts. And the guy said, well, what are the 3 huts for? He said, well, he said, the one on the right is where I live, and the one in the middle is where I go to church. He said, well, what's the one on the left? He said, that's where I used to go to church. I thought it was pretty good myself. I loved it. Sir.
Well, what'd you do to it?
We ain't even supposed to have that on until I start preaching. Okay, buddy. It's all right, Tommy. Nothing else is going right tonight, so. All right. I got to get myself together again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now to help us. Give us liberty to preach, and wisdom what to say. Lord, we pray that the service tonight would be beneficial and helpful to the hearer. That we'd teach the Word of God in sincerity and in truth. And it would not pervert or subvert any portion of it. We ask you to help us do that in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now, Genesis 9, God said, let the waters under the heaven. Now, we talked about that last week, about the body of water up over your head and all that stuff. And gave you all the references for it, at least I think we did. Psalm 148 and Job 41, Job 38 and all that stuff. Now, the waters that are under the heavens, God, that are around the earth, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 10, he called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of waters he called seas. Now, those things are in the singular because evidently from what we can tell, when God began to recreate and start the thing over, there was only one landmass and one body of water. And somebody's going to say, well, it says seas, plural. Seas is always plural, even when it refers to one. You ever been on a Navy vessel and been in high winds and heavy seas? Okay. It's only talking about one sea, but it's a plural thing. It's what they call a uniplural. It's like that word over there for Leviathan in Job 41. That word means beast in the plural, but it's only talking about one creature. Okay. So it's only talking about one sea and one landmass. Now, there's several ways you know that that's so. One, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and they decided to build the Tower of Babel, and they said, go to, let us make mortar and brick, and we'll have slime for mortar and this and that. Let us make us a tower and a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And so they began to build the tower, and God comes down and said, I don't like this. I am not ecumenical. I'm not into everybody getting together. I like things being separate and distinct. So I'm going to gum up the works. And he made some guy speak German. And he made some guy speak Chinese. And some guy speak Swahili. And, you know. And when they couldn't get along anymore, you know what they did? They departed. And because of the Tower of Babel, it said, and men were scattered upon the whole face of the earth. Then in Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, God does a strange thing. It says, unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one son was Peleg. And in the days of Peleg was the earth divided. So evidently what you had was one big landmass, and everybody was on it. And then after they tried to get together and leave God out, God spread them all over that thing. And when they got all scattered out, God said, I'll fix them. And He divided the earth. Got it all separated. And so now the guys over here that spoke Swahili, they got their own little group and they're stuck on their own little piece of dirt. And because of the vast distances across the sea, they can't intermingle. And God isolated them that way. God isolated men three ways. By language, by skin color, and by geography. Because God didn't want them to get together. Genesis 10, God's complaint was, When he came down and looked at it, he said, now nothing will be withholding from them that they set their mind to do. Therefore, and because of that, he confounded their language and then divided upon the face of the earth. God Almighty is not in favor of all the races and all the languages getting together.
Amen.
That's a man-made thing. But everybody said, well, what's wrong with it? Well, there's a million things wrong with it, but number one is God's against it.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, you've been brainwashed by watching the nightly news and by public education for so long that everybody thinks that that's a heretical concept and that it's mean and ugly and mean-spirited and racist and all that. Well, take it up with God. He made the races.
Amen.
And He divided the races. And according to Deuteronomy 32, He set the bounds of their habitation. Amen. And that's just the way God wanted it. And so there was one landmass. How many of y'all ever, I started to say how many ever went to grade school, but most of you probably went that far. How many of you remember when you were in school that you used to see these big maps hanging on the wall and it looked like an orange that had been peeled? You remember those? It's got all the continents and all the islands of the sea on one flat surface, but it's on little slices like you peeled an orange in one big piece and then pressed it down flat. It's kind of a funny looking thing. That's called a Lambert's conformal projection chart. I had to study hard to get that big term. Anyway, what that is, they take a surface of the earth just like an orange and then they roll it back and flatten it out. And it's the reason it's called conformal, because it's supposed to conform to the position of all the continents and all the islands around the surface of the earth. And of course, when you do that, if you take that thing and flatten it out and look at it, you can see very roughly how all those land masses used to fit together. And that's what all the geologists speculate, is that at one time there was one big land mass, then for some reason, some catastrophe took place, and the land mass was broken up. And of course, you've got rough edges now because of erosion. I mean, you've got 4,000, 5,000 years of the ocean rushing in and washing away the coastline and that kind of stuff. So it's not a perfect match anymore, but you can roughly see how basically all those land masses at one time were one continent. Amen. And it would have stayed that way if man had not decided to leave God out of his doings way back in Genesis chapter 9 and 10. Now let's look at verse 11. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, 2 points I want to make about those two verses this evening, which will probably take us the rest of the evening. Number one, all those verses repeatedly say, after his kind. Verse 11, 12, 21, 24, 25, and 28 all say that they are to reproduce after their kind. God, no place in this Bible ever encourages anybody or anything to crossbreed. It's not in your Bible. And all this stuff about let's get all the races together and there's nothing wrong with interracial marriage and all that stuff is just absolute man-made nonsense. Anybody with a nickel's worth of brains knows that that is not the best way to treat any species. If you want the very best of anything, you isolate it and breed it after its own kind. I got a friend up in Valdez, North Carolina, who likes German Shepherd dogs. He likes them big ones that are kind of black looking, not the brown ones. He likes the ones with the black coat and shoulders. And they are pretty. They're a beautiful animal. But he won't look at a German Shepherd unless it's got a pedigree about that long. He's willing to spend big bucks to get a German Shepherd if it is nothing but German Shepherd. Because if it's got collie in it, or Cocker Spaniel in it, anything with Cocker Spaniel in it ought to be, just do it in. I mean, that's not a dog anyway. But anyway, if it's got another breed in it, the dog is worthless. Absolutely worthless. One, it will not manifest all the characteristics nor the temperament of a German Shepherd. They will be mixed. It's what the Bible calls confusion. And God said, I am not the author of confusion. And so all through the Bible, God is into isolating and separating. In Deuteronomy and in Leviticus, he said, you don't put an ox and an ass together. You can't even plow them side by side. And you don't plant two kinds of seed in the same field. And you don't put two kinds of material in one piece of fabric. You don't put cotton and rayon in the same coat. Hello? He said you can't do that. If you got a wool jacket, you know what it's supposed to be made out of? Wool. You got a cotton shirt, it ought to be cotton. Why is that? Because God don't believe in mixing nothing. All the way through that Bible, God keeps the animals and the people and the wheat and the vegetables and everything else separate. After His own kind. 10 times in one chapter, God told you, after His own kind. Now, every farmer and every breeder knows that that's the best way to do things. I used to be stationed down in Kingsville, Texas, and we were actually, the base is in the middle of the King Ranch, or right on the edge of it there. And the King Ranch has developed its own breed of cattle. They're called Santa Gertrudis. They're a very expensive breed of cattle. And they protect them things like they were worth a fortune, because most of them are. They don't let those cattle breed with anything else. You can't bring your Holstein down there. You can't bring a Jersey. You can't bring a Brahma. You can't bring a Charolais. You can't bring an Angus. I know some more cows, but I can't think of them off the top of my head. Yeah, the Hereford. You can't bring any of those down there and get anywhere near those King Ranch cattle. Because the minute they are interbred, they're worthless. Because they won't look exactly like they're supposed to look. And they won't have exactly the temperament and the personality that they're supposed to have, because they're mingled. And so they share the characteristics of both. It's kind of like when black folks marry white folks, or black folks marry white folks. You can work that either way, see. And I thought I'd help you with that. But in case you hadn't noticed, they don't look exactly like either race. The races and the genetic qualities, the facial characteristics, the skin color, the personality, the mental aptitude, all that is mingled. And it's not supposed to be that way. Somebody say amen. Some of y'all don't like it, but that's just, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. God made three races. God deliberately and with malice aforethought isolated those three races so they could not interbreed. And man, in his infinite wisdom, built a boat, crossed the sea, and grabbed the first black woman he could find, and now we've got a world full of high yellows. Mulattoes. Half-breeds. Now, I'm not being ugly to those people. I'm not advocating you hate them. Those people, half-breed baby, has got the same feelings. He gets his feelings hurt. He bleeds. He needs to be fed. He needs an education, just like you or anybody else. But the truth is, if we had done it like it's supposed to have been done, he never would have been. Amen. Because his mom and his daddy would have both been, one, same language, two, same race, and if they really did it right, same religion.
Amen.
Amen. You see how narrow we really are? Now, God said, after his own kind. Now, all these verses deal with the procreation of a species. Herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. What happens if you mingle a pear tree and a peach tree? You reckon you could eat it? Can you imagine a peachy tasting pear? Or a pear tasting peach? Well, you say, no, we want those flavors clean and distinct. We want the texture of a pear in a pear, and we want the texture of a peach in a peach. But if you mingle them all up, you don't have anything. Nobody would eat the fruit. It would be worthless. Amen? And so, you devalue humanity when you mingle them. Now, here you got the fellow that raises cattle, and he knows that in order for his cattle to be valuable and to produce, you know why you want a certain kind of cow? Because you're trying to get a certain thing. If you want steaks, a good cattle raise is a Black Angus. If you want milk, you need to get a Holstein or a Guernsey, or something, say, because they're milk-producing cows, and their meat's not near as good or as plentiful as the Hereford or the Angus. Okay. So if a guy was in the business of raising cattle for meat, you wouldn't catch him raising Holsteins. Amen? So he's going to get a cow that produces large portions of meat and good tender meat, and he's going to raise those, and he's going to make everything that takes away from that, he's going to keep them out of his herd, because you're dealing with his livelihood. He's got enough sense to know that he needs to keep his herd clean and pure if he's going to make a living off of them. Amen? Fellow that raises horses, going to do the same thing. People that raise dogs, do the same thing. You take a mixed breed dog to a pet show, and it might be all right down at the YMCA for the 6-year-olds to bring his mutt. But if you go to a national competition or state competition, you better have a pure-blooded dog. Amen? Now, everybody in the world knows that. The guy that raises the cow, the guy that raises the horse, the guy that raises the dog, the guy that raises the cat. They ought to kill all the cats. But they know that. Till it comes to people. And then all of a sudden we throw all of our brains out the window and say, oh, it doesn't make any difference. We're all God's children. Well, if we're all God's children, how can we all look like? If God wanted us all mixed up, how come he made us different? You can pretend till Jesus comes that black folks and white folks are the same, or that white folks and yellow folks are the same, but you got to take your brain out and turn it off. Because anybody that stands them three people up side by side and looks at them knows they're not the same. You ever notice how them black boys do this? You know why they do that? Because their spine law is not made exactly like yours. You know why they say it's so hard to knock a black guy out in a ring? You punch him in the head and punch him in the head, but he can just shake it off. You punch that white guy in the head and his skull's not made like yours. It's not made like yours. Your skull's made in one piece. His skull has got a divider right down the middle of it. It's in two halves. and it's got a shock absorber in it. He can take a lick you can't take. Rattles your brain. He just can't rattle his. You ever look at an Oriental fella? You think they're just like you, do you? Well, how many of y'all got eyes like his, man? Give me a break. Now, they're not the same. God made them different, and God wants them to stay different. I didn't say you were any better than them. I didn't say you had feelings or emotions or aspirations they don't have. They got all that stuff too. We're not teaching that so that you look down on somebody or shun somebody or you're mean or ugly to somebody. They're God's creatures and they have a place here and a right to be here. And you don't have the right to mistreat them or abuse them or be ugly to them. But you're supposed to have enough common sense to realize you're not the same and we don't marry them and get it all mixed up. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, the other thing about this, since this deals with procreation, God put every species on this planet and commanded it to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Them cats are supposed to get together, them dogs are supposed to get together, them horses are supposed to get together, and people are supposed to get together and multiply and replenish the earth. Now they're supposed to do that after their own kind. But if the key command is multiply and replenish, do you really think that God is as dumb as U.S. News and World Report, Time, Life, Look, U.S. and all those things, the evening news, CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, and all the rest of them, who want you to think that homosexuality was created by Almighty God and that it is normal and natural? Now, if you didn't know that that was wrong for any other reason, you would know that it was wrong because they cannot obey the prime directive. They cannot multiply and replenish. They cannot reproduce. There has never been an offspring to a homosexual couple. There's never been an offspring to a lesbian couple. You say, well, I know two lesbians and they had a little girl. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They borrowed something someplace. It don't work that way. Amen? Now, God Almighty wants the species to reproduce. And all through the Bible, God makes it abundantly clear that things are supposed to have a male and a female counterpart. And that they are to reproduce. Now, so let me show you something here for just, another 30 minutes or so. Take your Bible, look over in Genesis chapter 7 for a minute. Now, see, a lot of times when you preach like this, folks think you hate people. And the honest truth is, we don't hate anybody. I got good black friends. You know what they believe? They believe the same thing I do. Mrs. Jacobs up in Virginia Beach, she'll say some mixed couple, and she'll say, look at that, look at that. Makes me sick. Her son married a white girl. You know what she said? I just can't stand to see them together. Amen. Amen. She knows it's not right. By the way, she fixes the best fried chicken in the world. And you can't take away my Kmart advertising for saying that. I'm not Fuzzy Zeller. Genesis chapter 7, verse 2. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls, also of the air, by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Now, God's fixing to load the ark up. He's going to drown the planet out. And everything that's on it, everything that breathes, is fixing to die except what's in that boat. And so God was very explicit in His, in His direction to Noah. He said, now all the clean animals, everything you could use for a sacrifice and everything you could eat, He said, you take them by set. He said, you just take two. But you make sure them two is one boy and one girl. The male and his female. God didn't let any fags on board the boat. There was not one homosexual couple on that ship. Amen. Now, the homosexuals run around trying to say, well, I was born this way. God made me this way. Nonsense. When God made them in the beginning, He made them male and female. Now you'd think a first grader would understand that. But you got PhDs in colleges and universities that aren't sure anymore. You got people writing articles in newspapers and magazines that don't believe it at all. He said, well, I just don't believe the Bible. Okay, don't believe the Bible. Try anatomy. You know, when I was in school, we had these encyclopedias in the school library. And in one of those things, they had these plastic layover things. And one was a boy and one was a girl. All the guys, we used to go and look at them, you know. That's where you are when you're little. We thought it was exciting. And you'd open that thing up and you could flip through there, you know, and you can see the liver and turn the take the liver off, and there's the kidneys and the pancreas and all. It was neat. But we noticed right away that boys and girls weren't the same. Girls don't have a pancreas. Now you'd think anybody with a brain and a set of eyeballs could make the distinction between the two species or between the two sexes. But they are bombarding your children constantly in public school that we need to be tolerant of diversity. That means fags and lesbians. That they're just normal people, they just have a different sexual orientation. Well, that rules them out in my book. Amen. Amen. All my friends, all my male friends like girls. Because when I find out they like boys, they ain't my friend no more. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. They're not God's friend anymore. Now, people say, well, preacher, you really shouldn't be down on homosexuals. You ought to love them and all. No, you love them, okay? I don't love them. I don't like them. They give me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like to be around them. Amen. I think when you find one, you ought to tone them. Give them a hard time. I was up in Virginia Beach one time. I worked for a company up there. And the fellas owned the company. There was a big businessman downtown. That we did a lot of work for this guy. And so the owner of the company wanted to send me over to this guy's house. His name was Buzzy. Buzzy. And Buzzy was a fruit. And everybody knew him. He was a big-time fag in downtown Norfolk. And I told Mr. Peterson, I said, I don't want to go. I don't like being around them guys. He said, well, we got to go. We get a lot of business from them. I said, okay, I'll go. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now, before I go, if that guy says one thing or lays one finger on me, he's dead. I said, I'm going to kill him. He said, buddy, do you think you could take this call for Bob? just don't. I don't like them. They make me nervous. Amen. I was reading a psychology book one time. This guy said, "We all have latent homosexual tendencies." I said, "Wrong." The guy's talking for himself. Okay. He's venting his own views. I don't have any. I'm 54 years old. If I had them, surely by now I would have noticed. And I don't got them. Amen. Them guys are weird. Now, let me show you in the Bible, homosexuality is condemned and God hates it. It is not a socially acceptable, viable, alternative lifestyle or anything else that a bunch of morons dreamed up. Take your Bible, look to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Got that? You're not to lie with a man like you would lay with a woman. Look over to chapter 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Got it? You see what God just said about homosexual? He said, you kill that bunch. Why? Because they pollute. They pollute. They corrupt the species. You know what a homosexual can't do? He can't reproduce. You know what that requires of him? That he recruit. He can't reproduce, so he's got to keep looking for new recruits. They're dangerous. They're dirty. They're diseased. They're filthy. People say, well, they're just normal people. They just have a different sexual orientation. Listen, normal people have the right orientation. They're not just a sexual orientation. Their mind's warped. Amen. All right, take your Bible, look over in Romans chapter 1 for a minute. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Romans 1, 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. I told you they were dirty, they're unclean. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Now, Romans said that they left the natural use of the woman and did vile things, men with men. Now, nothing could be any clearer than that. That should not need to be explained or illustrated or anything unless you're like Bill Clinton. And it all depends what is the definition of is. Now, if you've got a mind as warped as that sex pervert, then you might have some trouble with Romans 1:24-27. But if you're normal and sane, a man knows naturally that the natural thing is to look for a woman. Amen. And anything else is unnatural. You know what they used to call it? A crime against nature. Of course, they used to call it sodomy. But that sounds so bad. That sounds so mean and ugly. You know that over 30 states have taken their laws against sodomy off the books? Georgia just did. That's a deep south, ultra-conservative state. And they just changed their laws against sodomy. Whatever two consenting adults do in private is okay. No, it's not. It's still unnatural. If it's unnatural, you know what it is? It's deviant behavior. If it's deviant behavior, you know what it is? It's perverted. That's why we call them perverts. Amen. Now, preacher, you just got such a nasty attitude about it. That's because you've been brainwashed for so cotton picking long to be tolerant of it and indulgent of it. And even though you wouldn't do it yourself, you really shouldn't say about anything to anybody that does. After all, it's a free country and they have their rights too. Rights or liberty is never to be confused with license. You understand what license is? License is when you feel free to do whatever you want to, unrestricted. You have license to help yourself. Nobody has that kind of liberty. All liberty has restrictions on it. Amen? And part of that has to do with conduct. If you don't believe that, you go down to the theater or something downtown, or go to the hospital and walk in the front door and holler, fire! You have freedom of speech, don't you? Go down there and holler, fire! And see if they don't lock you up. Why? Because you don't have license to disturb other people's normal life. Your liberty cannot infringe on others. And you can't practice homosexuality without infringing on somebody. And you can't practice homosexuality without trying to overthrow the accepted norm of the rest of society. I can make a million arguments against the faggot. But if you're a Christian, the only one you need is you need this Bible right here in front of you. And then people say, well, preacher, I know what you're saying, so, but I've known several and they're just such nice folks. In God's name, what has that got to do with anything? Do you know if you were standing on the corner selling newspapers and Jeffrey Dahmer came up and shot the breeze with you for 10 minutes, you could say the same thing about him? Well, he's such a nice fella. Several years ago, the meat cutter over here at the community cash blew his wife away. Went down and bought a 357 Magnum, caught her in the parking lot, and jumped out of his car. She tried to run, and he shot her in the back 3 times and killed her. Now, I knew that fella. Matter of fact, I knew both of them. I led her to Christ. She got saved in our church. And I've been in their house and talked with him on several occasions. He was a nice fella. We went round and round about the Masonic Lodge. He's a big Mason, you know. And so me and him went round and round. But I enjoyed it. And he was always real sociable and friendly. And you could go over to his house and he'd pour you a Coke and sit down and we'd argue. I like that. Nice guy. Except he's a killer. What? People say, well, they're nice folks. That's got nothing to do with anything. What they do is wrong. What they do is perverted and distorted and unnatural. What they do is dirty, filthy, disease-ridden. And it corrupts others. And it spreads throughout society, and so it corrupts society. It's against God and against nature. I don't care how nice they are. I'm not going to let a killer go just because he's got a sweet smile. Amen. A fellow said one time, John Dillinger said one time, he said, you know, you can get more with a gun and a smile than you'll ever get with just a smile. Now, so God wants our species to do two things. Procreate. And
be heterosexual. God's against mixing the races. God is for producing children. And God is against men and men and women relationships. Amen. They say, well, they're a family now. They're a couple. They got married. Nonsense. Amen. They're an abomination. Amen. It's not legitimate in the eyes of God. Amen. And it ought not to be legitimate in the eyes of man. Amen. Amen. How do you explain that stuff to kids? You know, if you're one of them guys that don't see anything wrong with it. Well, now, me and your mama are straight, sissy, you know, and we wouldn't do that stuff, but some of our friends. And the sissy said, well, which one am I, Papa? Well, you have to decide that for yourself. Now, if you think I'm letting mine decide that for themselves, you out of your ever-loving mind, buddy. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to encourage them and teach them and browbeat them and anything else I can think of that boys like girls and girls like boys. But girls don't like girls, and boys don't like boys. Amen. And God don't like that mess either. And I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming this because I know Him. I've known Him a long time. I think God's really upset about this mess. I think God is upset not only at the homosexual. I think God is upset with a heterosexual because of his attitude toward the homosexual. Billy Graham said, AIDS is not a curse of God on the homosexual. Well, that's about the 20th time Billy Graham just doesn't know whether he's standing on his head or his hands. The guy doesn't know whether he's coming or going. He's a fine old fella, and I appreciate him and all that. Yes, well, you know, it's Dr. Billy Graham. All his degrees are honorary. Don't kid yourself, pal. He never finished Bible college. And he never earned a master's or a bachelor's or a doctorate. They're all honorary. They gave them to him because he's a big shot. Why everybody thinks he's so smart, I can't figure out. But it's blasphemous to say anything against him. Except if you read his material, he don't know anything. He don't know whether it's right or wrong to drink. You know what Billy Graham said about drinking? He said that's one of those gray areas that each individual has to decide for themselves. I thought, Billy, what kind of book you been reading, bud? In the Bible, it's not hard to figure out drinking's a sin. Amen. Amen. Billy's got all kind of stuff he can't figure out. He's not sure about the fire in hell. Anyway, Billy said AIDS is not a curse on a homosexual from God. Well, I'd like to disagree with Dr. Graham. I believe AIDS is a curse on the homosexual and on the heterosexual. Yeah. I think God sent AIDS along to get them fags for what they're doing. And I think God sent AIDS along to mess up the heterosexual for what He's allowing. Amen. You know who's paying the price, don't you? You say, well, them queers are dying with it. Yeah, but you know who's paying for it, don't you? It costs about $300,000 for every one of them guys that gets AIDS and dies with it. That's what it costs. You know how many of them fags have got $300,000? Not many. You know who pays for that? Your tax dollars pay for that.
Amen.
Well, that's enough hate for tonight, I guess. Oh, shoot, I don't know. Where are we at? I forgot where I was at. Okay, well, we got down to... We start on 14. Yeah, we start on 14. Because we need to do astrology next week. Pick up your daily newspaper and turn over there to the funny paper, and they've got the astrology section with all the 12 months and the 12 constellations. We'll do all that next week and see what God has to say about astrology. Should you go down and have your horoscope read? Brother Mark, you pray for us, would you please?